Blog Talk Radio.
Like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, afflicted, sick or lame. Hallelujah. For the power of the Lord is still the same. So lean on somebody and tell them, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Can I say it again? You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, afflicted, sick or sick or lame. For the power of the Lord, it still remains the same. So
my time is up. But I gotta say it one more time. You won't leave here like you came. Is there anybody need a blessing tonight? In Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, afflicted, and in pain. Oh Lord. Yeshua, for the power of the Lord. I said the power of the Lord. The power of the Lord, it remains the same. Say it quiet.
You
I said you won't leave here. You want to lift up your hands and bless him tonight. I said I won't leave here. Oh, yeah. I'm not leaving here like I can.
Like I can.
Now grab somebody and tell them we won't leave. Somebody ought to clap your hands and give a Lord a praise offering in this place. I don't know what you came in the house with today, but if you cast your cares on the Lord, tell somebody you don't have to leave here like you came. Be healed, be delivered, and be set free. Ah, yeah. check with Mother Patterson, who's my mama, and I check with Moses. Let me hear the key of G. This ain't playing. Let me hear G. Yeah. Something on the inside, moving on the outside.
Oh, what a change in my life.
Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie. I am so glad and elated to see the board lit up this morning. Praise and thank God each and every person that have touched the line this morning. Oh, God is just so good this morning. But before we start our exciting show today, let's have a few moments of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we come this morning just to say thank you to Him, the Father. Thank you for waking us up this morning to see a brand new morning that we have never seen before. Thank you for this day that we can come rejoicing in your name, giving you the praise to Him, the Father, giving you the honor. Thank you to Him, the Father, that you watched over each and every one of us through the night. The angels to Him, the Father, was encamped around each and every one of our bedside in our home. God, we say thank you to Him, the Father. To Him, the Father, I thank you for this day. To Him, the Father, that I will keep everything in you first in my thoughts. To Him, the Father, help me be able to magnify and glorify your name, to Him, the Father, because it's not about me. It's all about you, to Him, the Father. And I thank you for this day, for this moment, for this time, to be able to come to you and share with others the word of God that you have given to me. I thank you in this powerful name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, we want to give God praise this morning for all that He's doing on this line this morning, this morning. Today we're going to be talking about waging spiritual warfare. Enemy is Satan. And some of the tag words we'll use throughout our topic today is principalities, powers, wickedness, darkness, heavenly places, flesh, blood, the Satan, authority, and kingdom. We're going to have all these different things that's going to be tied up in this broadcast today. You know, Satan has invaded territory he did not create it and does not own. Let me say that again. Satan has invaded territory he did not create and he sure does not own. You know, bringing with him death, destruction, and disease. God has formed a collision of his people made up of all races, classes, and culture who have one overriding purpose to serve notice on the enemy today, that he must vacate the premises. You got to let him know he's got to vacate the premises. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities. My. So anyone that come on this broadcast today that would like to share in this topic, feel free, the number to call in. And if you want to give the number to somebody, please call them. Tell them, sign on in to Joy and Peace today. We are now on the air. We come on every Wednesday at 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And the guest call-in number is area code 646-716-4389. And today, again, our topic is waging spiritual warfare. Our enemy, which is Satan. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, as I was getting prepared for this topic today, I was thinking about, you know, the whole of the universe is divided into two rivals, the kingdom of light or righteousness that's ruled by God. And then we have the kingdom of darkness or evil commanded by Satan. You know, he is our enemy. And our world is the background where his effort to compete with God are playing out. You know, the Apostle Paul warned the earlier Christian about this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. You'll find that in Ephesians 6 and 12. Now today, let's take a close look at this spiritual battle and our enemies, the devil, the world, and the flesh, to see how they work to defeat us. Hallelujah. You know, let's start on with the devil. You know, Satan is one of the most misunderstood beings in the universe. For some, he's like a Disney character, entertaining and interesting, but not real now, not real. For others, he's a diabolic force with horns, a pitchfork, and a red jumpsuit. That's how some people perceive the enemy, the devil, Satan, the different name Lucifer that he used. You know, the biblical picture of the devil is different. He is an awesome, powerful, brilliant, crafty person who spared no effort and subverted the plans and program of God in favor of his own. You know, so powerful is the devil that other powerful angels like Michael would not even go against him. You'll find that in Jude 9. But as the highest of all God-created beings, Satan's responsibility was to lead the angelic host in the worshiping of God. You know, he was one of the chief angels there in heaven. But as you read further, according to Isaiah 14 and 12, his name was Lucifer, which meant son of the morning, according to Ezekiel 28 and 12. You know, he was perfect in wisdom and beauty. But however, rather than being grateful to God for the opportunity and honor bestowed on him, he became arrogant and proud. You know, the prophet Isaiah described Satan's attitude when he got the big head. And you know, as I read in Isaiah 14:13-14, the word of God said, "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." You know, have you noticed the key word here? It's the same one Solomon used to describe his search for material possession, the word I. How many times would we say I this, I that? You know, five times in this passage, the word I will are used to explain Satan's haughtiness. You know, here I go. I will ascend to heaven. Satan was determined to boot God out, remove him as the supreme authority of the universe, and replace him with his own authority. But listen to this. When we want to be independent of God, we are reflecting this same attitude. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. In the Bible, the word stars refers to angels. Find that in Job 38:7. You know, Satan is saying, I am going to usurp God's authority over the angelic creation. Satan is not a small planner, y'all. In fact, he was so successful. One-third of the angels' realm brought into his coup d'etat. You know, I would say on the mount of the congregation, the word mountain in Scripture is used for authority or rule. You know, Satan planned to design his own kingdom and control the affair of the universe in accordance with his own personal program. You know, when we act independently of God's authority over our lives, we change the Lord's prayer into devil's prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven. But you know, it said, our Father who is in hell. You know, he said, our Father who is in hell, hallowed be thy name. That's what Satan was doing. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, he was saying, I will ascend up above the heights of the cloud. You know, clouds are used to refer to the glory of God, since God often reveals his glory in the context of a cloud. You know, when Israel was being led through the wilderness, they was led by the glory cloud. When the tabernacle was completed in Exodus 40:33, I'm giving you scriptures that way you can read and you can see backing up what I'm saying. Tell us that the glory of the Lord came in the cloud. Satan wants us to show him off rather than God. I know a couple of years ago I went to a women's conference, and the lady spoke to me after the conference, do the prayer. And she said just, I think, four words to me. Do you want by the glory cloud to pass you by? That thing hit me in my belly, in my spirit. Hold them up. Wait a minute. Do I want the glory cloud to pass me by? Nah. You know, here Satan was wanting to show all himself rather than God. You know, here come this I again. I will be like the Most High. That's what Satan was saying. Satan wanted to, you know, function anonymous, no longer answering to anyone. See, he had to answer to God while he was in heaven. But himself, God never answered to anyone outside himself. Satan thought, so why should I? Here come that I again. That's the same with us. You know, God wants us to do the things according to what he said. But then we want to put ourselves in a place on, well, why should I do this? Well, why could I have to do that? Well, why I have to listen to it? You know how you go back and forth in your mind, those different voices you be hearing? But now God have already spoken to you and told you what to do, what to say, and where to go. But then you're going to come back and I say, do I have to? Hallelujah. Mm. You know, Satan wanted to be one who oversaw that everyone else would do. You know, the heart of Satan attitude is pride. How many of you all have that pride out there today? So you got so much pride that you're not listening and doing what God have told you and commended you to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, it's part of Satan's nature. And ours too, if you're not careful, because you will let pride step in the way of God is telling you something, and showing you something. And you know, some people has always got this, I know attitude. When you're telling them something that the Holy Ghost have dropped in your spirit, the first thing they throw out, I know that. You know, you can't deal with people that always know everything. You got to let them people go on and let God deal with them. Because if some people go walk across your path, no matter how much you showing them in scripture, but they're going to let you know, I know. As soon as the boom fall, who are they calling? Calling you, because the very thing you told them, what the Holy Ghost said, the very thing you told them not to do, what did they do? They did it. Now they in a pickle, and they want to know, how do I come up out of this here? What do I do? Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, we're talking today about waging spiritual warfare. Our enemy, which is Satan. You can use the Satan, you can use Lucifer, you can use the devil, but he is our enemy if you have not realized it by now. Satan is our enemy, and he's waging spiritual warfare with us against the word of God. If you're not careful, you will be caught up. You cannot listen to every voice that you are hearing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, scriptures give Satan a myriad of names and descriptions to describe his nature and plans. He is called the deceiver. He has so many names, you all. You'll find that in 1 Timothy 4:1. Because of his ability to keep men from truth, as he spontaneously leads them down a road of falsehood, of lies. And to make sure you can read this for yourself, you'll find that in John, the 8th chapter, in the 44th verse. He is called the lawless one because of his rebellion against God and his effort to get human beings to do likewise. Just think about, you know, when things happen, you say, the first thing I think about Flip Wilson in his little script years ago when he first came on TV, he would say them that he said, the devil made me do it. The devil made me. How many of you all say that today? It was the devil that made me do it. No. You had a choice. You could have made the decision not to or to do it. And, you know, when he rebelled against God and his effort to get human beings to do life, he's referred to as an angel of light. You find that in 2 Corinthians 11:14. Because of his ability to trick men into following him rather than God. How many of you all know that that's happening today? People are trying to trick you to do things that they want you to do. You go out of the will of God. You have missed your blessing. You miss opportunities that God had right there. All you had to do was open the door and walk in. But you listening to this one, you listening to that one, I'm going to ask you today, what voice are you really listening to today? Because Satan is coming between you and God, waging a spiritual warfare between you and God. And you got to be so careful. You got to walk so circumspectly. You got to really know that you know from the word of God. Not get up there and say, I know, like some people say, they always knowing. And we used to say, don't know the head from a hole in the ground. They know. You know, Satan is not the dark side of an evil and personal force as in Star Wars. Instead, he is a person who possesses intelligence, emotion, and will. His ultimate plan is to get us to act independently of God and then lure us into his kingdom. You know, you're wondering, how did I get here? What happened? And you know, it's so easily done if we are not careful. That's why we have to stay in the word of God. That's why we have to pray daily, all during the day. It don't mean you have to have the Bible under your arm, up under your head, at your feet every day, but you need to, when you got it open, get that word of God in you. So when your mouth open up, just know anything come up out of it. You're going to have that word of God backing everything you say. So when somebody says something, say, well, you know, the word of God says in such and such a chapter, such and such a verse, you know, you start pulling up that word. And if you don't remember the Zach chapter, start reciting it. Start reciting it, keeping it in your memory bank much as you can. Because in the course of a day, I know a lot of things come up, but that's where the enemy come in. He tried to get you at your most vulnerable part of the time of the day or in your life where he think, wait a minute, let me creep right on in because her mind on something else. She ain't got her mind on what it should be. I know how to maneuver her. I know how to get in there. And that's the way he is, conniving, crafty. That's just the way he do. You know, when we think of a thumbnail sketch of Satan, now let us look at those other enemies who are more aligned with Satan than we would like to admit, and that's the world. You know, our world come from the Greek word cosmo, which was used to denote order. You know, when the Bible talk about the cosmos, it is describing an organization diabolically, you know, hierarchic in which Satan manipulate legions of demons, vast earthly territory, and a considerable number of human beings to leave God out of the picture. You know how he'll come in. He'll come in when you've been delivered. If you're not careful, you leave that door open, you leave a crack in. When you leave a crack in, he bring a 7-15 and more back through that crack. You got to close every door to keep him from waging spiritual warfare in your life and in your family life. You got to let that devil know. Hold him up. No. You're not coming in here. No, you're not having my son. You're not having my daughter, my grandchildren. No, you're not taking my husband, my mother, my father. No, you got to stand up. And let him know, I don't care what you trying to do. God already showed me what you up to. But my God, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he's stronger than you will ever be. You want to be him, but you're not nowhere near him. You know, Satan tries to manipulate you. And he wants to put God completely out of the picture. Do you remember when Satan told Jesus during his temptation in the wilderness? The Lord was showed all the kingdoms of the world in an instant. All this I will give you and their glory, the devil told him. Now, what the devil didn't realize, God already knew. God already had this. But this was Satan was saying. And that's what he tried to do us in the world today. He tried to make us think if we get this authority and get this and get this prestige and get this prestige, that we got it made. No. If God didn't give it to you, you let him have whatever it is he wants. Don't even take nothing up. Don't take residence with that enemy and all his little imps. You know, as I was thinking about this, the devil told him, for this had been delivered to me, I would give it to whomever I wish. You know, therefore, if you would wish me, all would be yours. Now, that's what the devil telling the Lord out there in the wilderness. You know why he was telling them, you know you're hungry. Why don't you turn them stones into bread? And the Lord just had to rebuke him and let him know, oh, no, you go to Luke 4, 6, and 7, you'll find what the word of God say. You know, most people don't spend much time picturing Satan as the owner and operator of this world order. That's because people see the things of this world, which of themselves are neither good nor bad, rather than the system that's behind those, and that system is headed by Satan. You know, even though he does an admirable job of painting, decorating to make it look otherwise, he can paint a picture before you all, Satan can, and make you think everything is peachy-peachy, honky-dory. But when you boil down to that thing and see how that devil is deceiving you, you want to kick your own self. You want to say, can I raise my feet up and just kick my own self? How could I have let that gotten by me? We all have been there sometime in our life, born with the different things of the world. And I'm just running off. But if I have any guest that's on my switchboard would like to come on and say something, just press 1 on your keypad. I would love to hear from you today. We're talking about waging spiritual warfare against our enemy, Satan. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, Paul made it clear that Christians can enjoy the things of this the world. You find that 1 Timothy 6 and 17. As long as they maintain their dependency on and the first love for God, just as no wife can have an intimate relationship with her husband if he is having an affair with another, cannot have an intimate relationship with us if we are having an affair with the world. I think I'll say that one again, because I was really concentrating on that when I wrote that down. God cannot have an intimate relationship with us if we are having an affair with the world. We got to let the world go. We can't serve God in the world too. No, no, no. He didn't say we can't enjoy the things that he has forgiven us and prepared for, but you got to know the difference. There's so many things going on in the world today that's leading. Not only young people, older people are straight. And if you're not careful, you'll be caught up in the world system. It's three main things that we've been taught about the world system: sex, money, and power. You know that's controlling the world right now, sex, money, and power. Everybody want power, they want sex, and they want wealth. They'll do whatever with the wealth to get the sex and to get the power. So when you think about it and you boil it down, no matter what sequence you put it in, them the three things that's got this world going around right now. People is against one another. They want power. They're trying to see how much more money or how much downfall they can put you in to get more money, putting some hook in someone that God didn't give to you with sex. So when you boil it down, sex, money, and power. Hallelujah. Ooh, that's in the world, y'all. That's the world. Mm. You know, John told Christians that they should not love the world because it is transitional. Like Disneyland, I'm going to use that for example. Disneyland or rides at the state fair. You know, this world can produce momentum, excitement, stimulation, and enjoyment. However, the thrill is short-lived. You know, like if you go to a movie or you go to something they have it, but how long do that linger with you for a moment? You tell two or three people about this is what I did and that's what I did. This is what I saw when you went on vacation, how you had a good vacation. Y'all did this, that. But after the one or two days, your mind is gone off of that. As that little song came out, say, the thrill is gone. The thrill is gone. That means that thrill is gone. But what do you have to keep you connected to the Word of God? That's going to be everlasting. Just like I said earlier about the glory cloud. Do you want the glory cloud to pass you by? No, you don't want that glory cloud to pass you by. You know? And I think about little children, you know, they like to go to the park, and they like to play on the rides and amusement thing, different things, you know. All that's good, well and good, but you got to go beyond that when that's over. And I was thinking about by me do prison ministry and talking with men and women, and I asked a guy who started experimenting with marijuana. This is tied into talking about Satan and the struggle and the spiritual warfare. And has not graduated to crack cocaine. They start telling you how they started with this. Then they went from crack cocaine to embalming fluid. And this new name, the guy had wet back and some other name the guy was telling me. I can't even remember it right now. Time and resources. It wasn't but for a moment thrill that leaves you with nothing in return. Or think about these young girls who out there live from one sexual encounter to another. Only have loneliness thereafter. Heartaches, despair to show for that effort. You know, it is the love of God and not the love of the world that makes living in the world worthwhile. You know, you and I are faced with the same choice Jesus had to make in the wilderness. Will we bow down to Satan and buy into his agenda? Or will we respond as Jesus did? It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You'll find that in Luke 4:8. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to take a little break right now, and I'm going to put us on a very good song right now. And I think this is the one I'm going to play right here. And I know you're going to pick it up when you hear it, and I'll be right on back. It seems like that one don't want to come up today. Okay, that's all right. Satan, no, I'm on his trail today. That's all right. I have something else because I'm not letting him get me. Damn. Hallelujah. He's trying to work with my switchboard today and my music. But that's all right. God is able. Hallelujah. Yeah, both of them don't want to come in today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, you know what? We'll keep going. We won't let that get us down. We're just going to keep on giving God the praise and the glory today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, let me keep on. You know, it really boils down to either or a choice. There are only two gods to choose from, the God of the world, the God of the universe. Which one are you going to choose today? To select one is to reject the other. So are Christians called to closet themselves away from the tampering of the world, to shun convenience, entertainment, and technologies, as some said have done. You know, swinging to that extreme, missing the point of Scripture. Remember now, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. You'll find that in John 17, 15, and 16. And I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians 7 and 31, and it say, Paul commanded those who use the word as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. Use the things of this world, he said, but don't lose sight of your first priority. My. You know, it's okay to have a television. It's okay to have a nice home. It's okay to drive a nice car. Use those things, but don't abuse those things. You know, how do you know when you're growing to attach belongings? When the things you possess start possessing you. And how many times we know things are being possessed by people? They don't possess them, but they're possessing them. My. You know, when that new TV start competing successfully for your devotional time, God is being left out. Just like, think about how many people for the Super Bowl elected to watch the Super Bowl, not give God their time. Some didn't go to church. Some closed the churches up. Some didn't even have Bible time at home with their families before the game came on or whatever. Just think about how the world came in before God. When the new home or the yard work or the shopping trips or anything else begin to rise toward first place in your life, God is being left out. Just think about it. You know, it may not seem, it may seem little right now, but when you start thinking about it, I'm supposed to have been praying right now. The phone rang. What should I do? Continue on praying. I answer the phone. Continue on praying. God is trying to get your attention. You got God's attention. He's trying to get your attention. So when the phone rang, let it ring. Put it on mute till you get through in your prayer time. If you're reading your Bible, put the phone on your phone on vibrate. That's what I try to do before I come to the line on Wednesday with my blog talk. I put my cell phone on mute. So now if it rang, it's just going that vibrate going to go. When I get off the air, I'll put the phone back on if I don't forget it. But how important is your relationship with God? In the same way about that little trivia stuff on TV, at the movie, at the bowling alley and stuff, if you were supposed to be doing something for God, God have commissioned you to go out and evangelize today, but you decide you wanted to go bowling or you decide you want to do something of the world, God's going to give you time to do the thing that he required for you to do. But you got to know, without a shadow of a doubt, what you're going to do. So, you know, that's the same way he telling us in the scripture. We cannot just be letting the enemy wage in that spiritual warfare. And as I was thinking about that, there is no hard and first thought rules. We must each examine our heart if we want to keep our relationship with the Lord vital and flourishing. Each one of us have to do that. For one believer, having a television anywhere in the house is a dangerous temptation. Another may have five sets and a satellite dish and still serve God faithfully. Be honest with yourself. You have a time for pleasure, a time that you take out for God. Don't mess your prayer time and your time, your relationship with God, with all that worldly stuff. You know, here's another reliable measure of our entanglement with the things we possess, how we feel if we lost them. Just think about it. When you lose a home that you cherish, that home so, that become your God. that car, you got to wash it every day. You done took God out of the picture. He gave you that car, which is true. You bless it, go wash it when you can, but don't idolize that car. So when you walk, you say thank you in a parade. Some days a week, you can't go to work. You can't go in your job because every time they look up, you peeping through the window to see, hey, you got insurance on it? It's insured. If it's something important in the car, take it out, bring it with you, go on to your job. I'm just showing you how the enemy can come in and wage guards and thing out of the world in front of and dangle in front of you, and you don't even realize that's what you're doing. That's what you're serving. You know, a healthy Christian like Paul knew how to live with abundance, yet doesn't gripe or complain during the lean time. That means we got to not complain and murmur. You know, when the economic downturn set the different industries out, you know, where we had the oil companies and different things, you knew a lot of people that lost their job. They had been living comfortably. They moved to different parts of the country so they could see things a little bit better. But when you think about it, throughout this experience, where was their faith at? They had learned the secret in joy and possession, but not clinging to them so tightly that they could not survive a loss. No, we don't like to lose things, but get it like this. God give it, and God can take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God will give you everything that you need, no matter what it is. If you lost a house, it's a reason you lost that house. That it's so many problems you was having with that house. You said yourself, probably, Lord, I wish I hadn't got this house. But you had idolized that house, so you had idolized this, that, and the other. So when it was taken away, you shouldn't have to even worry about it. Just say, God, I thank you. I know you have something better for me. So that's where we have to look at things, not let spiritual warfare with that enemy wage in between us and God with our relationship. No, we have been speaking about the battle that rage around us in this world. However, there's another battle raging, and it's the one taking place within each and every one of us, our flesh. Is involved in a life and death struggle with the things of the Spirit of God. The winning control in our life, and there can be but one winner. You got to get that flesh to die daily. And you know, when I refer to the flesh, I'm talking about more than just our muscles, you know, our bones and the blood. You know, when the Bible refers to flesh, it suggests our evil nature. Those desire patterns of thinking, behavior, and attitude that dwell so deeply within us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, in the Bible, sin is not measured by degree. We either fall short of God's glory or we don't. Since the entire sin, you know, question provokes on this point, let us make sure we understand God's glory. Like I was saying earlier when I started off, you know, we don't want the glory cloud to pass us by. And we don't want the word of God and all God has for us. We don't want to be disobedient. We don't want to be rebellious. We're not going to let the wickedness of the darkness of this world take us over. You know, we're not going to, we're going to take on authority that God has given each and every one of us, power and authority. Have that faith, that dominion. And that's what we're going to need, you all. Because we already know Satan had invaded the territory here in the world. That he didn't create. He didn't create this world. God did. And he tried everything he could do, even with this broadcast this morning. He tried with all my music I have, new music. He wanted to try to come in to keep me from playing the music. But don't you know, we already know what's going on. We're talking about waging spiritual warfare against our enemy. And see, he know I'm talking about it. But that slew-footed devil, I don't care, because I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus on this broadcast. I'm going to talk about Jesus. No matter what he tries to do, God is in charge of my life. I know I don't want the glory cloud to pass me by. So that means I got to keep my relationship with God. No matter what he's trying or his imps is trying to do, we're going to keep on pressing on. And if I have anyone that's on this switchboard would like to come on and say anything today, feel free. I would enjoy some of you all saying something today on the broadcast because it's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's just spreading the word to any and everybody that will listen and that want to know about Jesus, want to know what's happening in their life, why things are happening the way they are, because we are waging a spiritual warfare against that enemy. And if we don't take control of it now, my, what's going to really happen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah today. Well, let me go on a little bit further. And when we think about that flesh, y'all, we got to let that flesh die. We just got to tell that flesh it's got to behave. And we can't do it without Jesus, with Jehovah. We can't do it without him. We're leaning and depending on him for our everything. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and we got just to lean and depend on him today. You know, many people plead with God for deliverance from the habit of sin, and they wake up the next day and the day after facing the same old dilemma because they have not turned their face to the wall, gave it to Jesus, and he will work it out. He's going to be up all night, all morning anyway. So why not give that problem that you're having right now? Turn it over to Jesus, and I guarantee you he will work it out. He will move all the distraction. He'll move that enemy out your way. All this him. Start reading. Just pick up your Bible and start reading that Bible. Start reading what thus saith the Lord. And see, won't that enemy and all his him got to flee? When you start reading and speaking that word out and let it go out in the atmosphere, hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, you're going to see a change. You're going to see a big difference in your life. And that's what we have to do. We cannot let this thing wage a spiritual attack, that enemy, against us and God. You got to remember who you are and whose you belong to. And he will, I'm a living witness, he will surely bring you out. You know, you got to block that Satan attack. You know, Apostle Peter warned Christians about the devil. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walk about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You find that in 1 Peter 5 and 8. Just think about it for a minute. When do lions roar? When they seek to kill their prey? Just think about that. And you must first recognize that Satan is a defeated foe. He has no claim over you if you know Christ. And we need to take inventory today. Satan's goal is to rob us of our own spiritual championship big and drag us down to his level. If you are saved, he can't drag you into hell. But if he can try to render you ineffective and miserable here on earth, Satan knows what Paul knew, that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places with Christ. You know, the devil understood our potential. He knows what God can make of us, and he is committed to seeing to it that we never reach that potential. You know what your destiny, you know what God has told you to do, and you wonder why it seems like I'm falling behind the eight ball. I'm falling. What's happening? You know, I know you've said that to yourself. But no doubt this leads you to the next logical question. Why does God allow a defeated foe to continue waging war in my life? The answer, you know, is fairly simple. God used these skirmishes to reveal his glory. Every time we resist the devil, we are strutting our stuff, you all. As I mentioned in the earlier time, you know, we will hit the bullseye because we are giving glory to God. That's why every week I come on this line giving God the glory, giving God the praise, not me. He said to resist the devil first. Remember that Satan is defeated. Secondly, take inventory of the armor God has provided to enable you to do battle and win. We have to take, you know, inventory of the armor of God he has given us, you know. Don't let the enemy come in and rob you of what God have given you. Christians have been equipped by God with all the necessary equipment of spiritual warfare to disengage our spiritual enemy, Satan, and render him and his cohorts ineffective in their attempt to bring us to spiritual defeat. Only by knowing and utilizing our spiritual armor can we experience the glorious victory achieved for us at Calvary. You know, doing spiritual battles require more than a New Year's revolution and a dose of willpower. You know, spiritual warfare requires spiritual weapons. And Paul described these weapons to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 6:13 and 17, it says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the various darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." You know, when you think about when Paul was in his prison cell dictating this letter to Ephesian church, I'm pretty sure he paused searching for a proper illustration to show them and to communicate to them. And suddenly his glaze fell on a Roman centurion who he was chained. Noticing the various components of the guard's uniform, Paul had the perfect illustration necessary to describe the vital piece of armor considering standard issue in God's army. You know, we have the belt of truth. And that's a special belt around their waist. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you know, when you think about that, when the soldier started running, his armor didn't shake or rattle and roll. It was stabilized by his belt. Then we had, you know, the breastplate of righteousness. This was hooked into the soldier's belt, was a breastplate which covered his most vital organs. A sword in the heart meant instant death. But when Paul told us to wear the breastplate of righteousness, he was saying, cover your heart. Of course, in this context, the heart concocts much more than a blood-pumping muscle. It represents the core of our inner being. Hallelujah. You know, a Christian heart is Satan's prime target, but there resides the conscience, our standard of right and wrong. That's why I ask God to clean out my heart every day, all during the day. God, if you find anything in my heart not right, take it out. Because I don't want nothing that's in my heart against nobody, against nothing. And then we could go on and on, but then I'm going to go over to the shoes, the peace, you know, the peace of shoes. You know, no soldier can fight without a sure footing. Just think about you. Proper shoes enable him or her to move forward in battle. Can only move forward in that spiritual war if they stand firmly on the foundation of peace. You know, when Paul talked about the gospel of peace, he interfered the two specific kinds of peace. Peace with God and the peace of God. Hallelujah. You know, peace with God is what we call positional peace, which can be compared to signal a treaty to enter a war. You know, through the treaty signal, the end of the fighting, it does not necessarily end the conflict that caused it, but in the same way, having peace with God means that by his grace, we have come into a right relationship with him. You know, on the other hand, the peace of God is that inner tranquility and sense of well-being that transcends our communication and our circumstance. That's why Paul called it the peace that passes all understanding. We talk about that kind of peace and joy in it. Christians need to live in the light of their salvation, not in the light of their circumstances. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's getting good to me. The shield of faith. We're telling you about putting this armor on again, warfare against our enemy, the Satan. Piece of armor that is mobile. You can move it around as needed. If your breastplate is hanging loose on one side, you can cover the exposed area with your shield. If you left your belt unbuckled, shield the slide the shield in front of it. That's only one part of your body is shield, one protect your back. The last thing you do is doing a battle is show your enemy your back. Ah! We must face our enemy head on. As we do, we can depend on the shield of faith to cover any weakness that may remain in the rest of our armor. Hallelujah. You know, whenever we lack, we can make up by faith, which is defined as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Ah, my. Your faith would protect you, provided it is the right kind of faith. You could have a numerous faith and gifted talents, preaching, choir, whatever, but that kind of faith won't get you anywhere. The intensity of your faith is irrelevant if the object of your faith is erroneous. On the other hand, if your faith is centered squarely on Jesus Christ, a little bit of faith is all you need. If my faith is genuine, even though Satan may set my world on fire, I will continue to focus on the supernatural enabling Jesus Christ has provided to me. That kind of confidence is like water to a fire. God throws open the hydrogen of his grace. You know, there is only one way to know if you're using your shield of faith. Ask yourself today, am I being obedient to God and his word? The proof of faith is that you are doing what God says to do because you believe he is going to honor your obedience, even though you don't know how, when, or where, but you learn how to be obedient to the word of God. My. And then, you know, we have the helmet. Hallelujah. My time is running out, but let me tell you this real quick. The helmet of salvation. You can survive the loss of limb. Certain organs can be repaired or replaced. But no one has survived the loss of the brain. Without the brain, you can't move. You can't think. You can't speak. You can't react. Your brain controls your body. It's called the shots. It calls the shots. In the same way, your mind, your conscious thoughts and attitude doing and drives your spirit. It is any wonder that Satan wants access to our mind, you all. We can't let him have our mind. Hallelujah. Ooh, this has been so exciting today, waging spiritual warfare against our enemy, Satan, the devil, Lucifer, father of lies, lawless, whatever name you want to give him. I hope this have helped you today to carry you along life journey. And so I have 10 seconds. I want to thank all my guests that came on the line today. I thank you for coming on and staying on today. God, I just, God bless you tenfold, a hundredfold. And I want y'all to come back next week. I'll be having some more topics, putting them on today or tomorrow. So everyone, feel free to come back next week. Did any of my guests like to say anything before we go off the air today? The music didn't want to play. That's all right. We kept going. We just know. We're the same way in life. When one thing stops, we don't stop. We keep going because we know what God has given us to do. We have a commission, and my commission was to do this program today. No matter what came up against me, I had to continue going on. Whether the music played or not, I was going to go on. In the name of Jesus, I want to tell y'all to be blessed this week. Until next Wednesday, hope to hear from all of you and some more that will come on next week for another exciting topic on whatever God gives me to speak on. Hope you all will be able to come on again next week with more. Bring some others. Tell some others the number. Area code 646-716-4389. And I'm going to try to have a guest on next week that will do a lot of the talking. So who knows, out of some of you all that's on the switchboard today, I have your number, and I'll probably call you on as one of my guests to speak next week. I have enjoyed each and every one of you all today. Love you. If I had the tentacle was an octopus, I would hug each and every one of you all and tell you just how much I love you. And just remember, waging spiritual warfare, which is our enemy, Satan, let God be at the head of your life. And until next week, be blessed. Love each and every one of you all. Bye-bye.